We're in 1 Kings chapter 18. I just want to speak about one verse. You remember the story, how Elijah the prophet came and asked the king to bring all the people together and the false prophets together, and let's have a confrontation on Mount Carmel, and they can put up a sacrifice and I'll put up a sacrifice, and let the God that answers by fire be God. Now, prior to that, all the kings of Israel had done wickedly. For 58 years after the death of King Solomon, these men had really brought the nation down to nothing. So now Elijah wants to bring God back into Israel, and he's been praying in secret. And what he did was, he found the promises of God, where God said, if my people turn against me, I'll shut up the heaven that there'll be no rain. So Elijah went to God and asked him, would you do this? Because we have to teach the people to turn back to you. And God did shut up the heavens that there was no rain under Elijah's request for 3 years. So there'd already been a drought for 6 months, so for 3.5 years there was no rain. And finally they come together on Mount Carmel, and they're going to settle this question: who is God? Which God do we follow? And Elijah said, you put a sacrifice, I'll put a sacrifice, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God. So the prophets of Baal, of which there are 450, these false prophets, they cried out, they cut themselves, they did everything they could think of. And it makes me laugh, because Baal, one of the names of Baal is the Lord of Fire. But there was no fire. No fire came. Baal was quiet. All right, so then it's Elijah's turn. And what he did was, he built the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He got everything together, and then he poured water all over everything, just so people would know that when this fire came, it really was God's fire. And he prayed. And what he prayed was so wonderful. He said, Lord, I have done all these things at your word, and I'm asking you now, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, hear me, O Lord, hear me. Now, just a couple of quick thoughts here, because this is a prayer meeting. What Elijah was doing all his spiritual life, he was getting, and this is something that you and I need to really get hold of, he was getting God between him and the problem. Getting God between him and the problem. And this is what he's done here. And now he prays, and the fire falls. The fire comes down and consumes the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and licks up the water that's in the trench. All right, the fire has come. But the fire is not the only objective. What is the objective? The objective is for the people's hearts to turn back again and for the rain to come. We've got the fire, we've got no rain. Now, the thing that I can see here is this, and I want to bring this down to you and I personally, to our churches, to ourselves. We are in this position where we've seen the fire fall, the fire has come, we know who the Lord is. Now, these people said, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God, the Jehovah is God. And they acknowledged that. But then what did Elijah do after that? After that, Elijah said, take the prophets of Baal, take the false prophets of Baal, and bring them here to me. Verse 40 of 1 Kings 18, and Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and he slew them there. So what he did was, Elijah dealt to the basic problem. The basic problem was these false prophets had been teaching the people falsely. He dealt to them. Now, why I'm talking to you about it is this. Just stop for a minute. 2 points. One, if Elijah had not have killed these prophets, it wouldn't have been long before the country would have gone back to the darkness that he found it in, because these false prophets will destroy the nation and the image of God in the nation. That's one point. Also, if he had not have killed the false prophets, I don't believe the rain would have come. Because the reason for there being no rain was these people and the actions of God's people. So this is the point I want to make, put to you tonight. You as a Christian, you have come to the altar. You have seen God's fire fall in your heart. God has blessed you. You are saying the Lord is God. But I want to ask you, have you killed the false prophets? Have you dealt with in your life the things that made you the kind of person you were? Have you dealt with them? Because if you haven't, now just before you think you have, just stop and think for a minute. This is what these false prophets stood for. They stood for the sensuous, the senses, a very evil in this sensuous area. They stood for the world, and they certainly stood for the devil. Their direction was to put people's eyes downward, put them downward, because they did not want people to worship the true and living God, because they themselves didn't worship the true and living God. Now, what false prophet would be in our lives that we should destroy? And what false prophet would make us sensuous, worldly, centered on the earth, forgetting about God? Sin, isn't it? Wouldn't be sin in our heart? Wouldn't sin in our hearts make us just like that? Isn't this the struggle of the Christian? All the time, we've got the flesh. Sister was mentioning a little while ago that if she's not in the spirit, then she's in the flesh. And so, now what you have to do, you've got to make sure that you don't join with the false prophets. Because remember this, if you join with the false prophets, you will get the false prophets' reward. You will be destroyed with them. So remember this. Now I'm putting the label, I'm saying it is sin, it is worldly sin, it is carnal sin, it is fleshly sin that grips our hearts, and that is a false prophet who wants us to leave them alone. And if we leave them alone, for example, you take false doctrine. If you're in a church where they're preaching false doctrine, you are not going to grow, and you're not going to see the face of God, because you are putting yourself against God and you are disobeying Him. If you are a person who lives in a false experience, for example, pretending to be holy when you're not holy. If you follow the leader, by that I mean you know a godly man or a godly woman and you follow them, you will end up in the wrong place. We only have three authorities in the church. Three authorities, that's all we've got. We do not have any other authority beyond these authorities. The authority of God's word, that is absolutely primary. Everything we know about God comes from His word. Everything we understand about holiness and all these other things come from the application of God's word in our lives by the Holy Spirit. And another witness is the Holy Spirit. He gave us the word. He is the advocate or the representative of Jesus Christ on this earth at this time. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to apply Christ to our lives, to establish the headship of Christ in our churches. Christ is the head over all things to the church. Now I'm saying to you that if you cannot have any other authority beyond these authorities, now let me explain quickly, that doesn't mean you don't have government in the church. Of course you do. There are elders, there are bishops in some churches, there are pastors, teachers, evangelists, all kinds of people. But they are not our authority. We can only follow them as they follow Christ. We can only walk in the light with them as long as they are in the light. And so what we have to do, we have to remember that where there is the authority of the Scriptures, the authority of the Holy Spirit and the headship of Christ, we are then going to get the kind of teaching that is needed to help us to discern a false prophet. I'll give you an example of a false prophet. The power, the reigning power of sin has been broken in your life when you came to Christ. You understand me? I was interested in a sister saying that when she gets away from the Lord, it's horrible. Now that's interesting, because some years back she would have said, "Oh, I wouldn't like to be a Christian, that's horrible." Because there's a complete change in her heart of affections, of knowledge, and all these other things. Now if you're a young Christian, you have to remember that the sin that was put out of your life by Jesus is going to try and come back like a false prophet. The things you said you would give up are going to try and come back. They're going to try and make you like you were before. Because sin, behind sin is Satan, behind these false prophets is an understanding that Satan is motivating them. Now, here's the rule for you and I tonight. As Christians, we must not allow any sin to reign in our lives. Any sin to reign in our lives. Now, if you and I have a sin reigning in our lives, we've got a false prophet in our lives who's going to destroy us. Take the false prophet and kill him. That's what Elijah did. They're going to take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. Now, the way I'm talking to you tonight, I'm not talking to unsaved people. I'm only talking to Christians. I'm talking to Christians. It's useless for me to say to an unsaved person, "You try not to sin. You go against sin." They can't go against sin. First, they have no power. Secondly, God is not with them. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit cannot help them. Fourthly, they are disobedient and rebels against God. There's nothing inside them that is going to respond to you saying to them, "Give up this, give up that, give up the other thing." But on the other hand, I mean, when I counsel people, I was counseling a woman a week ago, and she asked me some hard questions. I say hard questions because she was saying to me, "If I'm a Christian, can I do this and can I do that?" Now, I was tempted, when I say I wasn't that tempted, but I was a little bit tempted to try and move away from there, because I know that if she keeps her focus on them, she will not continue her interest in Christ. But, thank God, I remained faithful to the Lord, and I told her the straight up and down truth. Straight truth. Because I have learned that if you don't tell people the truth at the beginning, 6 months later you can't find them. So now tonight I'm speaking just to Christians. And I'm saying to you, as Christians, you cannot allow one sin to rule in your life. You can allow nothing to... If you have a known sin in your life, listen to me. If you have a known sin in your life, you are failing little by little. It's imperceptible. You can't even see it. You don't know it's happening. Now I'll tell you how you can realize it. You go to pray, and you have no power in prayer. Your prayers are empty. I was talking to a man last night, who told me that when he prays, the words are like a drum in his head. Something's wrong. Something's wrong when that happens. So what's happening to you is this sin has deadened your prayer life. Now, I believe the Lord spoke to my heart about this. I'll tell you what I mean, because I just, while I'm on the subject of prayer. How long have we been praying for a spiritual awakening? How long have God's people been crying out for a spiritual revival? Why is the prayer not answered? I believe the answer is right here. Because there's the false prophets of Baal are in the hearts of us Christians. I'm telling you, read the story in 1 Kings 18. The sacrifice was there, the people turned back to the Lord, the fire fell, everything happened. But why wasn't the rain there? Why didn't it rain? That was the idea of the whole exercise. It was because it didn't rain because the false prophets had to be destroyed. And then the man had to cry out to God. And God had even said to Elijah, you go and appear to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. God said that to his servant. God will tell his servants what he's doing. But Elijah knows there's a spiritual pattern. There's a way you have to walk with God. Now, if you and I want to walk with God, how do we know there's a false prophet in our lives? The word of God becomes useless to us. We don't want to read it. There's something wrong. Now, what is wrong in us that can affect the word of God like that? A false prophet. There's a false prophet of Baal. We go to church, and we're not interested. We're bored. Let me ask you a question. How can a Christian be bored in a church where we're supposed to be worshipping God, even if the preacher's no good? You don't have to listen to him. Pray. Seek the Lord with your heart. Lift up your heart to him. You might preach better next week if you pray for him. But you are sitting there, oh, I'm bored. What did you go to be entertained? I don't like these songs. You know, I have a problem, to be honest with you. I have a problem with songs today, and I'll tell you why. Because the Christians that know me, they expect me to worship God the way they do. Arms up, jumping around, singing for an hour. A girl told me the other day that she went to church, she was disappointed because there was long singing and a short message. Well, that's no. But to get back to my point, you are spiritually bored because there's something inside you that's losing its interest in God, making you lose your interest in God. You're at the prayer meeting tonight. Do you want to be here? Or are you here because you should? Or because someone will say something if you're not here? You mean that your spiritual life is so low that you're doing things for appearances? You can't come to a prayer meeting and just be with the Lord, pray with the Lord? Thank God you can be in His presence. Thank God you can be in His presence, that's all. But the reason why some of you may feel like that is because there are false prophets in your life. And you will go home from the prayer meeting to relax. That's what you will do. Because the false prophet is in your life. You cannot have any known sin. You cannot indulge any known sin and walk with God. If you have said, the Lord, He is God, and you are swearing, or drinking, or taking drugs, yelling and screaming at people, or hating people in your heart, or exercising unforgiveness, you have got false prophets in your life. And you need to deal with them. You've got false prophets that will destroy you. This is one of the reasons why. Another one I should have mentioned, it was spiritual pride. You know, a lot of us Christians, I mean, here I said us Christians, a lot of us Christians suffer from spiritual pride. I remember the other day thinking to myself in my prayer room, I think I'm more humble than I used to be. What a proud thought that is. What a proud thought. The man who's humble doesn't know he's humble. The man who's humble wishes he was humble. The man who's humble has no idea that there's any humility in his life. You see, that's spiritual pride in my life. And this didn't happen to me. But there was a preacher that preached a great sermon. And he came down from the pulpit. And a man walked up to him and said, "Brother, let me be the first to congratulate you on a great sermon." And the preacher said, "No, brother, you're the second. The devil has already congratulated me." You see the point. And so if you and I are going to really walk with God, we have to kill the prophets of Baal. We have to kill the sensuous, the worldly, that which stands against God, that which keeps us on the earth. Now we know that we have a different kind of Mount Carmel. We've got Mount Calvary. Now, did Jesus die for your sin? Did Jesus shed his blood for your sin? Did Jesus suffer for your sin? Well, that's enough reason for sin to die. How can we play around with something that costs the blood of the Son of God? How can we do that? How can we play around with the knife that murdered our Master? How can we do it? The very fact that Jesus Christ was dying on that cross for us is a good enough reason for us to go back to the cross as Christians and be crucified against sin for Him. To come to the cross for Him. To go back for Him. Now, if you deal with the false prophets of Baal in your life, several things will happen to you. You'll become a target for Satan. What happened to Elijah after that great victory? Jezebel sent him a message and said, "I'm going to kill you by this time tomorrow." What did Elijah do? I don't criticize him for this. Man was standing alone. Nobody. That's a thing that bothers me. It really bothers me. Because all these people said the Lord is God. Who got up and stood by Elijah? Who was standing by Elijah? Appears to be nobody. And so don't let somebody else be the spiritual giant. Don't let someone else do all the standing up for God and not you. But if you do deal with the false prophets, you will be attacked by Satan. You will be attacked by those who are not prepared to deal with their false prophets. You will be attacked by them. And you will be attacked by people close to you. Close to you. I came across something yesterday, I think it was, that really touched my heart about this. What happens to a person when they really, absolutely deal with the false prophets in their lives? On November the 10th last year, there was a meeting in the Rhineland in a church that had been built specially as a memorial to Martin Luther, and all the people gathered, the dignitaries, everybody else came, because there was a Welsh man by the name of Carl Jenkins. He was a composer. And he had written a song called "The Armed Man, Mass for Peace." They had this huge, important meeting. The idea of the meeting was for Christians and Muslims to be together. They were wanting to join Christians and Muslims together in peace, which is why they had this concert. There was a woman who lived 1.5 hours away. She was praying about this, just a little woman. And she said to God, "You mean you want me to go there, to that place?" And God said, "Yes." And she said she nearly didn't go because she was feeling spiritually lazy. But she went. And what she did was, she went and sat up in the balcony. And when the concert started, after they read a little bit of music, they got the Muslim imam. He stood up, and began to give the call to prayer at that concert. She stood up in the balcony and interrupted him and said, "Jesus Christ is Lord of Germany." That's what she said. And people began to shout. She said, "I break this curse over my country, over my church." That's what she said. People were astonished at what she did. And they called her the brave German woman. And she said that when the imam gets up and says, "Allah Akbar," he is putting a curse on us, and he is saying only Allah is the Lord and he is the only God. That's what he's saying. And she stood up, she said in the words of Martin Luther, who lived in 1521, and the church was there as a memorial to him, for goodness sake. She said, "Here I stand, I can do no other." She said, what these Muslims do when they are murdering people, they cry out, "Allah Akbar." So that's what happened to that woman. She became a sensation. But why am I telling you this? Because you can only stand up for Jesus when you have dealt with the false prophets yourself, in your heart. The woman is an evangelist, evidently. And her name... What is her name? I wrote her name down. Heidi Mund. She said she wants to see the return of Germany to its spiritual foundation and its roots. And she's right. So have you dealt with the prophets of Baal in your life? I know I'm looking at my life. I'm seeing things that I need to deal with. And some of these things get quite deep because the Lord is trying to get to our inner heart. Let me go back to the point about spiritual awakening. Why is there not spiritual awakening? What's wrong? Where's God's power? And when I was having my quiet time this morning, the Lord reminded me of something that happened in my life. I was preaching in the Salvation Army. And the Lord really blessed the meetings deeply. And so some of the army officers and others said, "Why don't we go and have a half night of prayer?" So we went to this house for unwed mothers. And we went into the lounge and we were praying. And we really were praying, I'm telling you. The Holy Spirit was really burdening us. We were crying out to God. And it was a wonderful meeting to be in. But the reason I'm telling you about it, because upstairs was a room where girls who were going to have a baby, young girls, were sleeping. And our prayers woke them up. And this one girl in particular, she got out of bed, she said, and knelt by her bed and gave her heart to Christ. Now how did that happen? It happened because the Lord was in the place. And that's what will happen when there's spiritual awakening. That was a spiritual awakening in one little house. But there can be a spiritual awakening in this country if God can get hold of people who have killed the prophets of Baal. May you and I be one of those. Remember, if you are playing around with sin, you are spitting on Jesus Christ. Because he died for sin. He took your sin in his own body on the tree. Let me tell you something. If the Father had not accepted that sacrifice, Jesus would not have been allowed back into heaven. Because he was made sin. And so that's your sin and my sin. And so he goes into the grave. But he ascends. The price has been paid. Sin has been remitted. The righteousness of God is established. Forgiveness is available. And now whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. Now that's what he did. Are we going to play around with false prophets in our hearts, in our churches? If you're going to a church where they preach false doctrine, leave it. Leave it. If you're going to a church where they don't preach forgiveness of sin for you, leave it. Don't stay there. If you're going to a church where they don't teach you how to read the Word of God and pray, leave it. Or you are going to end up a false prophet yourself, like them. And you will get the judgment that they got. So what did Elijah say? Take the false prophets and bring them to me. What does Jesus say? Take the false prophets, bring them to the cross, bring them to me. And he kills them there. May God bless you. Amen.